Denver brings pressure. Taylor bounces it outside. Looking for the pylon. And he's in. Touchdown, 49ers.
That's a veteran running back in year number five that knows what he's looking at.
That's Patrick Taylor, touchdown. That was the Niners' only touchdown of the game. Welcome, the Niners' only touchdown of the preseason game in its entirety. Welcome back. It's the Morning Roast. Joe Shasky, I'm Mark Randy. Shasky, that was one of the few highlights for the Niners, particularly offensively. They did have a safety, a couple of nice plays defensively as well. But in terms of things to get the fans at Levi Stadium out of their seats onto their feet, that was one of the only instances of that on Saturday. Welcome back. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I just... the Niners, man. I love that they're back on my television. Just seeing the uniforms. That's the other thing.
Oh, it's a perfect uniform. Just a perfect uniform. The home reds are just...
You know, I know we want to have all of these different... alternate uniforms.
We're like
and
2 weeks away from the new alternates being announced.
I'll let you know right now. They're going to disappoint you.
I know you already hate them.
And they haven't even been released.
You don't even know what they're going to look like, and you hate them.
No, they'll be black, and they'll be terrible. I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind. But when I see those uniforms on 4K, and I see just how they look with the sun like glowing down on them.
So
they're
pretty.
Glorious.
They really are.
The Niners have, similar to the Yankees, almost perfect uniforms. What I would suggest the Niners do, actually, though, is the logo itself has hints of gold in it. I would actually remove that and just go to the old 1980s, just black outline. There's something simplistic about that particular logo that I prefer. But again, I'm really in the weeds on things like that. I love that Mac Jones cut his jersey so that his sleeves looked almost Kirk Cousins-esque. he looked like a little kid wearing his dad's, football jersey from the 70s.
He looked like a kid who, was out trick-or-treating on Halloween wearing the shoulder pads and the long sleeve
that
jersey.
Used to be me, I used to wear that, the old plastic
helmet.
Yeah, plastic helmet.
That's what he looks like with those sleeves.
LJ will be getting that this year at some point. Dude, LJ got pegged with a football yesterday. We were at Fort Scott. We were doing a big barbecue, and everyone's playing football. You know it's football season when the kids are throwing the pigskin around.
Ow!
And this kid, LJ. Emerson, who I love Emerson. He's the sweetest kid of all time. He threw an absolute bullet, and he's our third baseman. He's played great.
He's got an arm.
Oh, he's got a great arm. It was the best throw he's ever made. Just 25 yards to the left, 60 yards downfield, and pegged my boy.
He threw it 60 yards?
I mean, it was a little football. I mean, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, and not 60. I'm exaggerating. It's the art of storytelling, Randy.
Like, well, like 55.
30
maybe,
yards?
Maybe 40. It got my kid so hard in the side rib cage.
Oh,
and he didn't go down, though.
He didn't go down?
He boom, boom, boom. And he kept his,
That's honestly impressive.
And I was like, you're good. You're good. You're good. I always do that with him,
We got to give him the positive reinforcement.
I mean, I thought it could have broken its ribcage.
Well, you react like, oh my God.
I didn't
That's
do
when
that,
they
though.
Start crying.
Exactly, but I didn't do that. I was like, you're good. But he was not. He got pelted. And I was like, cookies? Yes. And then we went and got him cookies, and he was good to go.
I'm glad he's okay.
You know it's football season when your kid's getting pelted with a football from the side. And look, it's the war wounds of growing up.
Absolutely.
You better learn to wear them at 18, 19 months old, because if you don't, you're never going to survive in this world. The world is cruel. You might not have your left tackle, and you're going to have to survive Mac Jones.
Good luck. Good luck with that. 888-957-9570. We're going to get to some risers and fallers from the preseason week number one. Before we do that, Shasky, let's go back out to the phone line because Dave in Fresno is standing by and wants
what's
to
up,
weigh
Dave?
In. Dave, what's up? Happy Monday. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing great. Thank you. 2 points, if you don't mind, real quick. You say they invest heavily in defensive line, which I agree. The issue I see with that, they haven't really hit in that department.
Yeah.
Again, remember, when we were successful, we had Buckner and Armstead. Those were inherited
D4.
From the previous regime. They did draft Bosa, which I think kind of was a gimme. But if you look at it, Drake Jackson, Thomas, Kinlaw, even the guys they traded and signed, Chase Young, Hargrave, they haven't really been, much luck in that department. Yeah, they they had they put the resources in it, but they haven't really had much to show for it. So I kind of, you know, that's not good. And as far as who they can live without, you know, I know Trent Williams is high on the list. I think, honestly, they're a team that usually when one of the heavy hitters is out, Trent, CMC, Kittle, you know, the offense just sputters. You know, they're a team that can't really function that well when one of their main guys is out. And, you know, they're a team that builds around the QB, which this is fine. But when that QB is not the most important player, you know, he is important. But when Trent Williams is more important than your quarterback, that's what you have. This is how this team is built. And I'm not arguing against that format, but that's what you get, you know, and you're putting a lot of pressure on your positional players to be available, especially at that age too. So I'm with you guys. You guys are making great points. They haven't really had a plan for these situations. You know, one of your older players or one of your important players goes down, it's usually not somebody behind them. So those are the two points I wanted to make.
Well, thanks, Dave. I think there are a lot of teams around the league. If Justin Jefferson goes down, they're in trouble in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? And like, if, you know, last year, Micah Parsons missed some time. Dak missed some time. They were done. They just might not be good anyway.
They're probably done this year anyway. Yeah.
Okay, Matt Stafford, he takes over the Rams.
Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback?
Yeah, we're salivating.
Oh, my God, it's over.
We're salivating. So there's a lot of teams that if you take away their top dog, they're going to have a tough time competing, period. That being said, I just don't think they prioritize the offensive line. That's different than like, hey, if their top dog goes down, they're in trouble. A lot of teams are that way. It's what do you prioritize? You know, for the longest time, Bill Belichick did not prioritize having first-round draft picks. He did not want to bring someone into the locker room who was making a boatload of money with a bunch of veterans making less than that guy. He thought that was a poor dynamic to set up. So he de-emphasized having first-round picks and would rather have the second, third, and fourth-round picks. Andy Reid, he doesn't really care about blocking skill position players. Well, that could be farther from what Kyle looks for. Kyle loves Juwan Jennings and George Kittle because they run block. He loved Ayuk as a player because he would run block like crazy. There's just different things, you know, that I don't know how many teams prioritize what Deebo Samuel brings to the table. Not many.
Well, he's so unique. It's kind of hard to prioritize that in the first place.
But Kyle loved him.
Yeah.
Kyle loved him.
To the point where maybe loved him a little too much, particularly last year.
Exactly. So it's really like what do you value? And I think, you know, each coach values different things. It's worked out for them a lot. I look at how they've built the team this year, and if you just look at, they got Kittle, CMC, Trent, Fred Warner, and Bosa. And then you put Purdy in there. So you got five older players, although Bosa is still in his prime and Warner's still in his prime. Five older players making a boatload of money. Sixth is the quarterback, who I still don't even think he's hit his prime, per se, in terms of physical peak. So you got six guys making a boatload of money. And then you got a lot of, let's see if these young players can contribute.
You might include D'Amador Lenore in that group.
Did I not?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, he's another guy.
In his prime, but just got paid a lot.
Absolutely. There's a lot of question marks outside of those guys. And now I go to, okay, your draft and develop portion of the team. Let's see it. And I think bringing Robert Saleh in, one of the things that popped in my head after watching him again preseason, you know, R2's going up against their ones. I can already tell on third down, they're going to be so much more creative than what they were last year. Seeing them walk six and seven guys up to the line and not knowing which four or five were going to blitz was so refreshing. And I see what they did with Chase Lucas, and I'm like, all right, Robert Saleh is going to figure out the defense. The personnel might be a work in progress.
He'll get the most out of it, though.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. He might be the biggest acquisition on the entire team.
I agree. Have you watched the full season of Quarterback on Netflix yet?
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't know, it's what receiver was last year, and they followed Deebo and Kittle. And I say last year, it came out last year, but it was about the year prior. So the one that just came out, Justin Jefferson, and there was one other.
Devontae
Adams.
No, it was St. Brown.
Oh, and Amon-Ra. You're right.
Yeah, there were five guys.
I guess there were five receivers plus four receivers plus Kittle as a tight end, because it was Deebo and Kittle. But it's cameras follow these guys around the year prior. It comes out the next offseason. So the one that just came out was following Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins from last year. And there was a moment where Kirk Cousins had himself a rough year last year. And now he's not even going to be starting, I think, for the Falcons again this year. But this is about what Jared Goff was talking about when they were taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And the Vikings were great last year, kind of came out of nowhere with Sam Darnold. But a big part of what they did was on defense and Brian Flores and that defensive coordinator. And just hearing Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson and Jared Goff talk about the issues that Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator presents. And it's Jared Goff as a quarterback who's got 20 million things running through his head before every snap. And he'll legitimately tell you, when I'm playing Brian Flores, I have no idea what the hell I'm looking at. Because his blitzes can come from any which area. He shows pressure. He drops them back. He doesn't show pressure. He's bringing a blitz. It comes from this. It comes from a corner. It comes from a safety. It comes from the weak side linebacker. It comes from all these crazy spots. And he's so unique and so random with when he calls it and with where the pressure comes from that a quarterback doesn't really know or trust what they're looking at. And if I was to, like, circle one area that the Niners have really missed defensively the last couple of years, it is that.
Creativity.
It is just having that creativity and keeping a quarterback on their toes. Far too often, even with decent personnel and decent talent on defense, the Niners have just been pretty vanilla. Or whenever they do bring pressure, the opposing team, for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, they scouted it out, they saw the Niners' tendencies, and the Niners did not break those tendencies, whatever the reason was, it felt like the opposing offenses were always a step ahead of the Niners' defense. And I think with Robert Saleh, Shasky, that will shift. Because Saleh is not a heavy blitzer.
No.
Like, Flores is a heavy blitzer with the Vikings.
But I think
Saleh is not, but he always tends to find the right moments to do it.
Exactly. You know, let's get right into our risers and fallers.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think this plays hand in hand because the
I mean, Saleh's one of them, honestly, we can be honest.
Well, let's get into it. Play me some music, all right? Risers, as in people that were revelations on Saturday, and then we've got some people that were like, ugh, I was cringing. I call them fallers, okay?
The first riser is obvious. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to go right. Robert Saleh and his impact on the defense. Chase Lucas.
That's
incredible.
I was going.
This is a guy I watched at practice get into it with the Broncos, and I'm like, this guy talks a lot. Like, is he any good? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm at a joint practice. I've only seen him a couple times. Chase Lucas was everywhere on Saturday night.
Yeah, he was. And, I mean, when it comes to Robert Saleh and being creative with blitzes, it was Chase Lucas.
He looked great.
It was Chase Lucas every single time coming with the corner blitz. The one with that they got the safety on Bo Nix, they brought D. Winters on kind of a delayed pressure from the left side. Bo Nix had to spin back on his blind side to the right into the back of the end zone. Chase Lucas is sprinting right at him, untouched. Bo Nix has to throw the ball away, incomplete. It's grounding in the end zone. That's a safety, all because one, Robert Saleh's call, and two, Chase Lucas being the right guy to do it.
So you brought up D. Winters. I actually thought the other linebacker who flashed last year, when I said I thought he was better than Jalen Graham last year, Tatum Bethune. I think Tatum Bethune's a player. We've talked about him. Remember, Sam? Your eyes lit up. I loved him last year. I was shocked he didn't get on the field at any point, it felt like, last year of importance. He looked unbelievable on Saturday, playing fast, playing physical, separating people from the ball, and making plays in space.
Seventh round pick last year. But yeah, I mean, he has a chance because there's, we only think of it as two linebacker spots with the Niners. You think of Fred and you think of Fred's running mate. There is a third linebacker when the Niners are in base defense. They often will play nickel, and that's what a lot of teams do in the NFL now because you have so many teams that just pass. You need five defensive backs out there, which is why someone like an Upton Stout is so important because if he is your nickel, you feel pretty good about yourself. But there are base down packages where there will be three linebackers on the field, and it seems like D. Winters has won the battle for Fred's running mate. And then you're wondering, all right, is it Nick Martin? Is it Tatum Bethune for the third? And probably going to be Tatum Bethune, honestly.
Yeah. And then there are other guys on defense. I got one guy in particular I'm going to hold off to the end because I think he's the most important.
Oh.
What about Kalia Davis? This is a guy I've been hearing about forever. dominating in practice, dominating in this offseason workout. And he's been hurt, it feels like.
He was hurt last year.
We haven't had a chance to see him and put eyes on him as a fan base. Kalia Davis?
He was the best defensive lineman on the field on Saturday.
I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, he was really good.
This is a guy with all these spots and opportunities up in the air. Could Kalia Davis be an impact player for the Niners this year? It had me thinking.
Honestly, my guess is Kalia Davis will start one of the DT spots week one.
You think so?
I think so.
I'm kind of with you.
I mean, it's probably going to be Kalia Davis and CJ West.
CJ looked good.
We'll talk about CJ coming up in a little bit. Another name that I wanted to throw out.
Give it to me.
Marquise Siegel, the rookie safety.
I was holding him to the end.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm glad you brought him up. I think this is your starting safety for a couple of years.
Oh.
It may not be this year. The way he was flying around, the way he was ball hawking, the way this guy was closing out, tackling people as a sure guy, range. Is this the free safety that we've been looking for forever? I'm asking out loud. It seems like it is.
It was a good step in the right direction for him on Saturday. I kind of compare.
You know what it reminded me of?
Who?
Eric Reed. When I first put eyes on Eric Reed, and I was like, oh, this guy's a player.
I was convinced Eric Reed was like going to be an all-pro for like 5 years.
He got the concussions, and I don't think he ever really recovered. He was a stud, though, that year.
He was. I like Marquise Siegel, and there is a wide-open spot for him at safety. I kind of compare him to Nick Martin. Nick Martin is not a heavy riser for me, although I think there's some things that you can work with.
I actually like him.
Nick Martin was everywhere, almost a little too everywhere. He was overly aggressive, and he was taking some bad angles on tackles, and he was over-pursuing and missing some tackles as a result. I compare that to Siegel because Siegel was also everywhere, but he was under control, and he was calm. And there was this one moment where he fought off of a block against a receiver. He fights through that block and sets his feet as the running back comes running at him, and he makes a really solid tackle, grabbing the guy's outside leg and brings him down. He just fought through the block, got the tackle still. So it's Siegel, one, being in the right spot like Nick Martin was, the linebacker, but not over-pursuing and just kind of letting the play come to him. So Siegel always was in the right spot, and I don't think he missed a tackle all game. So I was big fan of what I saw from him.
Yeah, he looks the part, and I think he plays with speed, and he just looks awesome. Now, he did bang the knee. We'll end up seeing what happens there.
Shanahan will speak today. We'll probably get an update.
I don't know if Marquise Siegel is going to be the guy who starts week one, but I bet you come December, he's your starter. And they've had how many box safeties? Like Talanoa, Malik Mustafa. Like, they've had so many of these. Even Tig Brown is like a box safety to me.
Yeah,
they need a free safety, and this looks like one of those guys. Now, I don't know. Maybe he ends up playing more of that strong safety, but I loved what I saw from him. Yeah. And then last guy on defense for me, this guy Valdez, 55.
Sebastian Valdez.
And let me just throw something at you. There was a guy during the dark days that I thought had tremendous upside and never came close to reaching it, and it was for a variety of reasons. Aaron Lynch was a guy.
Aaron Lynch.
That I believe that name in either forever. UCF or South Florida, one of the Florida teams.
I think it was UCF.
Had he been with Vic Fangio, I thought he could have been a player. I liked Aaron Lynch. Valdez reminds me of Aaron Lynch in that.
Now that's a name.
Exactly. That's a name I haven't heard for a long time.
It was actually South Florida and Notre Dame, believe it or not.
Aaron Lynch was a player. He beats double teams. He would make plays in the backfield. Kind of a knucklehead. Didn't trust him off the field. I don't know who Valdez is as a person. I don't know what he ends up being as a player. But when I saw him flash in the backfield, I go, ooh, that reminded me of Aaron Lynch. Like Valdez.
I'm looking up Aaron Lynch. And yeah, Valdez is kind of just this undrafted rookie. He came out of nowhere but was really good in week one of the preseason. Aaron Lynch, I'm looking at this now. I remember him being effective with the Niners. He had 6 sacks as a rookie when he only started 3 games.
That's what I'm saying.
In his first 2 seasons, 12 and a half sacks.
Dude, he was 12 good.
12 and a half sacks in his first 2 years.
On a team that sucked.
And then he only had 1.5 the next 2 years with the Niners, and then he ultimately left and went to the Bears and the Jaguars. But, I mean, 12 and a half sacks your first 2 years when you only start like half the games, that's pretty good. So I'm with you. Sebastian Valdez was good as well. You got another riser?
Yeah, so I've got a couple more, but these are non-defense. Special teams as a whole. They're finally buttoned up.
Junior Bergen looked great. Punt returner.
Looked great. And then, I don't know if you guys noticed this, they kicked the ball into the end zone, guys. Yeah, you could do that. Jake Moody actually looked good on his kickoffs.
Well, he kicked for touchbacks. Now the ball comes out to the 35. You don't want touchbacks.
I know, but he literally was kicking the ball out of bounds last year in preseason.
True.
Okay? So, like, he's being accurate. No, he kicked one to the one where they couldn't
That's where you
touch
want
it back.
To kick it
That's
to.
Where you want to. That was the first one. And then, is it Mitch Moreland? Who's the Morstead?
Thomas Morstead. Mitch Moreland, Texas Baseball Ranger player. First baseman.
He looked good, too. And look, the punt game is important. We know this. You got to be able to cough and kick it. And I just thought special teams as a whole looked really good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree there as well. Are there any? I'm trying to think.
And
offensive.
Then on offense, I like the mixed bag of what I got from Watkins, Jordan Watkins.
Yeah.
I thought that he showed reception. A little bit of everything. A pre-snap penalty, lining up in the wrong spot, not running the proper depth on two different routes. But then you also see the spectacular catch that's contested over another body, using his own back to block the guy off and then break away for more yards. I thought Jordan Watkins was the full experience of playing a rookie. I like him, though. I like him a lot, too.
I mean, I like the speed. You're going to need that. You don't really have a guy to take the top off of the defense. Now, Shanahan and rookie receivers, how much are we actually going to see from him? Who knows? In the past, Shanahan has tended to avoid rookies in that position group. I think partly because he had the ability to not go to them because you had so many other guys. You might by default have to play him meaningful snaps because there's a situation where DeMarcus Robinson is out to begin the year. Ayuk is out to begin the year. It would not be the most surprising thing if Juwan is at least rusty to begin the year. And who the hell knows what's going to happen with Ricky Pearsall? The guy can't stay healthy. So, I mean, what does that mean for Jordan Watkins? Maybe he's forced into action, and there's a world where you have to see Jordan Watkins help you win games early in the year.
Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah, definitely possible. I think DeMarcus Robinson is going to play way more than we are giving him credit for
right now.
He looked good. He is good. No, he's good on this team. Let's go quickly to the bad, and I want to get into some more of these.
Yeah.
The absolute rock bottom for me was watching the two quarterbacks. We'll get to the people that are actually going to play on the team on the other side. The two quarterbacks, Tanner Mordecai and
Carter Bradley.
Oh my gosh!
What did I watch? Am I the only one?
No, you're not the only one.
What was I watching? Like, the drop-off from Brock to Mac is pretty big, but the drop-off from Mac to Bradley and Tanner Mordecai? I mean, there's a high school player right now in the WCAL who could play quarterback for the Niners at a more efficient level.
What
are we doing?
My big takeaway is, man, that quarterback play really makes you love Brock, doesn't it? It makes Brock look like Tom Brady.
I mean, now I go and I'm thinking everybody was crushing Mike McDaniels because of the drop off from Tua to the next guy. Dude, could you imagine a world where Bradley has to play?
No.
I mean, he might throw 5 or 6 picks in a game.
The best things that he did was threw the ball and got a pass interference.
They're like, his arm, his mobility. And I know you're trying to gas up everybody. I'm not ripping on. I thought Guy Herberman did a great job.
And
Tim Ryan. I thought their rapport was actually much better than I anticipated. It's new. A new broadcast booth. And I thought they did a great job. But Bradley's terrible. He's terrible. That is rock bottom quarterback play that I've ever seen in a Niner preseason game. I'm dead serious. Chris Winkie was better than what I saw from Carter Bradley.
Oh,
Nate Davis was better.
It's your assistant head coach's son, too. Imagine being Gus Bradley on the sideline watching that. Like, yikes.
They cut Tanner Mordecai for him, only to bring Tanner Mordecai back. Both are not NFL players, period.
Tanner Mordecai might have won the third quarterback job just because of what Carter Bradley did. But we can talk more about that. Plus, we got other fallers, other losers, other guys who are dropping down the depth chart to get into, and then some guys that it was some good and some bad. We will continue with that. We'll continue reacting to Niners Broncos week 1 of the preseason when we come back. That's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. It's Shasky and Grandy with you on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.